The election in Ukraine last Sunday capped 2 months of confrontation between the country's political establishment and a peaceful popular insurgency. The rebellion's lifeblood came from a colony of young people who encamped in Kiev's central independent square. With temperatures slipping as Ukraine's fall gave way to winter, the demonstrators were warmed, at least in part, by a song that had been written in a matter of hours soon after their protest began.
Together we are many. We cannot be defeated. Together we are many. We cannot be defeated.
Legendary folk singer, songwriter, musicologist, and radio host Oscar Brand is one of America's leading authorities on protest songs. He joins us from NPR's New York Bureau. Morning, Oscar.
Good morning.
What do you think of that song from Ukraine?
Well, I think it follows a pattern that is ancient. Take a line that says Yushchenko is our president, and then add something to it so that the audience can feel it's part of a movement. Just carries and carries and carries until it carries away the opposition.
Well, does this song have qualities that will make it endure?
Oh, yes. First of all, it's easy. It's easy to sing. A line like "Together we are many" is a great line. And then you say, "We cannot be defeated." Well, that's like a tree that's standing by the water. We shall not be moved.
Falsifications, no. Machinations, no. Prison rules, no. No to lies. Yushchenko, yes, our next president.
Then there's lines about lies, no. Lord, I've had hundreds of those since the last election. But Yushchenko is our president. We heard that clearly. Say, Yushchenko is our president. Well, that just bowls over the opposition. There is hardly anything more powerful than a good song.
The guys who wrote this song, Roman Kalin and Roman Kostyuk, took its first verse from banners and slogans of the protesters. Is that a typical genesis for a protest song?
Yes. Ever since Tippecanoe and Tarlatour, even before Adams and Liberty, for instance, in our country. And I judge what's happening there in a way in the window of what happened here. And I hear the same reverberations, the same feelings, the same statements. When Washington ran, it was easy. But then Adams came. Now, what did they use for Adams? Very simply, a very popular drinking song.
If the tempests of war overshadow our land, our boats would not rent freedom's temple asunder.
I think you recognize the melody. It became the Star Spangled Banner. But because everybody knew it, you could put words to it. However, we're talking about the past, when the lines that people wrote were more prolix. They were much more delicate and intricate. Nowadays, we don't go for that. We go for simplicity and straight statement, and that's really exciting.
Well, which is more typical in your study of protest songs, that the words exist and someone finds a melody for them, perhaps a melody that's known, but the words are what drove the creation of the song, or the reverse, that there's a song and people noodling around with the song decide to put words to it, protest words?
Well, what you've asked is really the central point of what we're talking about. How do the songs begin? Do the words come first or the music come first? Remember, I used to ask that Sammy Kahn, who's the president of the coalition of my organization, the one that I'm the curator of, the Songwriters Hall of Fame. I used to ask Sammy, which comes first, the music or the lyrics? He says, the telephone call. In other words, it doesn't make any difference which comes first. Whatever they ask for, whatever is necessary, they will do. Now, here is a group of people who already have a statement, who already have a moving feeling. Together, we are many. Well, first of all, what they're saying is, don't vote us out, kiddo, because we're watching you at the ballot box. We cannot be defeated. That's marvelous. It states exactly what's supposed to be done. All right, let's hold that. Hey, fellas, what do we do with it? Are we going to sing a song, an old Russian song like the Volga Boatman or something? No. What's happening today? Happening hip-hop. In this particular case, I suspect, of course, I can almost guarantee that the words, that the banners came first, and then came the beat and the rhythm. These songs are malleable. They can be changed in a minute. And in some cases, the opposite sides are singing the same melody and words which are very similar to each other.
Give us an example of that.
Well, the one song that I could demonstrate that with is a song that will astonish the audience. I had a friend named Woodrow Wilson Guthrie, Woody Guthrie, and he wrote a song called that said, God Blessed America for Me, because he didn't like Irving Berlin's song, so this was his way of making fun of it. Well, later it was changed, and it became This Land Is Your Land. And This Land Is Your Land was the song that was sung by the Republicans in two conventions, and it was a song sung by the Democrats in more than two conventions. Same song from opposite sides, and everybody wanted it for himself.
Some people would say we shouldn't talk about protest songs in the United States without at least mentioning Bob Dylan, except he says he didn't write protest songs.
Well, Bob is a special case. Bob came, and he wanted to be important. He wanted to be popular, and he came with a good background. He'd played rhythm and blues in his past. He played the piano. He knew all these things. And I remember I went with Dave Van Ronk to watch him perform for the first time. We wanted to support him. And he sang this new song that he'd written that went, how many times can a man turn his head? Or how many times can the cannonballs fly? These lines, these actual lines, were part of, they were poster lines. They belonged to the people at Washington Square and so on. And he took and put them all together. And while they're not great lyric presentations, they made a difference. So without his really intending to, he became part of that movement, that civil rights movement, that anti-war movement, that pro-women movement that many of us were involved in. And he was carried like flotsam on a wave to a point where he was writing beautiful poetry and writing fine lines and extending the world that we lived in. So I can't say that he intended to write political songs, but I can say that he did a good job of it.
Can you pick one protest song that you think, that you consider the most successful?
Well, yeah, I could pick out a lot that I consider the most successful, but there was a song, for instance, well, let me tell you its genesis. You'll get an idea of how that moves so marvelously. There was a man who wrote very many beautiful songs, religious songs, and he wrote, the world is like a battlefield with forces in array. If in my heart I do believe, I'll overcome someday. With a chorus, I'll overcome someday, someday. I'll overcome someday. If in my heart I do believe, I'll overcome someday. And after a little while, traveling around the hills of Kentucky and the hollows, people changed it a little, and I'll overcome someday didn't seem right. So it became a song that most people sing today who want to move the world a little further forward.
We shall overcome, we shall overcome. So
that song is one of the greatest because it doesn't make any difference what it is you got to overcome. You just say it in the second line. If we shall overcome someday, here in my heart, I believe we shall overcome someday. I marched in many a parade and on many a picket line with that song, and I knew we were making a difference.
Do the songs of one movement tend to seep over into other movements, other protests?
Well, some of the protest songs we're singing today have been sung for centuries. Centuries, from the days of the Civil War back to the American Revolution. They last if they've got any kind of quality. And the qualities they must have, of course, are a singability. You got to be able to sing them. That's why there are so many songs like Roll and Overcome, because they're easy to sing. You got to roll, you got to roll. We're going to roll the Union on. And that song, for instance, Roll the Union On, could easily be We're going to roll the GOP on, and has been done that way. And if Kerry's in the way, we're going to roll right over him. We're going to roll right over him. Going to roll right over him. Once I asked Joan Baez a question about had she heard any Republican songs, and she said very, very carefully, there are no Republican songs. There's songs from both sides. I imagine that the other side in Ukraine has some other good songs. Maybe they didn't have the sense, however, to make a hip-hop song out of it.
Well, is a hip-hop song going to last, a protest song done in hip-hop?
If the song is good, why not? We're doing fine with hip-hop. I'm very, very happy about rock and roll and hip-hop music. In fact, on my radio show back in the 40s, I used to play on the air what they called race music. Well, race music was rhythm and blues. It was only that they figured only black people would buy them. Ridiculous. They move the body, they move the mind, and in some cases they move the government.
Oscar Brand is host of Oscar Brand's Folk Song Festival, which has been heard on NPR member station WNYC for almost 60 years now. He joined us from our New York bureau. Thanks very much.
Thank you for asking me. It's a pleasure.
You can download the full Ukrainian protest song and hear Oscar Brand sing on our website, npr.org. This is NPR's Weekend Edition, directed by Ned Wharton, with production help from David Rector, Elaine Heintzman, and Jesse Baker. Stu Seidel is the senior editor. The senior producer is Robert Molesky. Our technical director is Burke Hun, with audio engineers Greg Gavin and Kevin Waite. Our reference librarian is Key Molesky. Our theme music was written by B.J. Lederman, with additional music from Steph Skajari and Greg Smith. Leanne Hansen returns next week. I'm Sheila Cast.
Our feature, What's in a Song, is produced by the Western Folklife Center with support from the R. Harold Burton Foundation.
Weekend Edition Sunday is a production of NPR News, which is solely responsible for its content. You can purchase transcripts of stories you hear on this program and have them delivered to you online. Visit our website, npr.org. This is NPR.